Hello and welcome to Ex Tumblr Girls, the podcast hosted by two ex Tumblr girls turned modern Tumblr women. I'm your host, Tori.
I'm your host, Carly.
Let's talk about Tumblr. We are recording a bit late this week, but we have a good reason. Carly and I got to see each other in human form.
No, it happens less and less now that we're
I
like
know.
living 6 hours apart and I'm not
But
traveling
trust,
as much.
one day in the near future, we will be in close proximity once more.
Yes. We're
We
used to it
will,
though, because
yeah.
when we first became friends, I mean, we lived 30 minutes apart, but when you don't have a car and you're 12 years
Exactly. When
old,
you're a child, 30 minutes is like an insane amount of space from your best fucking friend.
yeah.
But then once we could drive, shit was over.
Yeah.
But it was so nice. We got to see each other because it was Carly's birthday.
It was my
Everybody
birthday.
say happy 24th to Carly.
Yeah, that's crazy. And I was told by many people that 23 is the last fun birthday. And that 24, like, it's not fun anymore because you're getting quote unquote old, which is crazy to me because this was
People are
one of the
so
best
young.
birthdays I've had in a very long time because I haven't been in school, like, worried about classes.
Exactly.
I just got to go shopping for plants and, like, what else could I have asked for?
No, actually, like 23 was such a fun birthday for me because I did nothing all day. Because it was my, well, no, it was my second birthday out of school, but my first birthday out of college, I didn't take off work because I was like, I don't have any plan. There's no point in me taking off.
Yeah.
And then I realized there is a point in taking off. It's sleeping late and watching TV on the couch because that's what your
Yes,
birthday's about.
exactly.
But you got some gorgeous new plants.
I got, well, and then you got me a plant. So I got like six or seven new plants.
Carly's bringing new life with her into
I
this next year of life. You
oh
had a
my God.
very like life-changing birthday. Carly's employed.
I am employed. Yeah, on my birthday, I signed a contract. We'll see how that goes. We'll see how it goes. But I will be having more money than my unemployment checks can provide, which is really the only reason why I'm getting a job. But
Carly's employed. New
I'm
era.
excited. Yes, I got a lot of new clothes so
That's
that
the best part.
yeah, because I have not left my apartment. And I just wear sweatpants all day, pretty much. So now I need clothes that can w withstand preschoolers because I will be working at a daycare. So we'll see. I'm sure that I'll have many a story. It's a really good reason to work at a
Yeah.
daycare, I think.
Honestly, since I work from home full time in like my silly little corporate job, I actually am buying more sweatpants,
Love.
but I've now decided to. I had like a moment a few weeks ago where I was like, okay, I'm wearing the same gross sweatpants every day that I've owned for like 6 to 8 years. Like, and I own 4 pairs of sweatpants and I wear them constantly. And I was like, maybe I can order myself some nice sweatpants that like are made of a nice material that like cost a little bit more money or that like look like clothes. So I ordered a very cool pair of sweatpants that have like cargo pant pockets on them. And I also
Nice.
ordered PacSun has a collection with the Met Museum. And I ordered like these green sweatpants that say the Met on them, but they have like art designs all over them.
Oh,
And I was like, okay, I'm gonna
love.
look like a human in my
Yeah,
sweatpants now.
I love that.
What else do we have to talk about for our chitty chat? Well, I think it's only right that you give them a Stardew update.
So I think I don't remember what the actual day is that we recorded last time, but it was only a few days away from the big Stardew update.
Yeah.
I don't remember the date, but I also installed some mods, the main one being Stardew Valley Expanded. And trust, I will be doing a Stardew episode. So
Yes,
I
you
will get
will.
in depth with all of the lore. But I just started year two. So like I have been on my farming grind. I thought that I would like want to take it slow because I just got perfection on my other farm, and that is not the case. I am grinding. I have a whole farm layout planned. I'll send it to you because it's really cute. And I'm so excited to get further into the game because the first year is kind of rough. No, it's rough because you don't have I don't have the money to be buying triple shot espressos, and because it makes you faster. I don't
Oh,
have a
I was
horse
like, that's
yet.
just a real life problem. Like,
It's so true. So yeah, I don't have a lot of the fun items in the late game that make you like teleport and stuff. So I'm excited, and I'm probably going to be spending a lot of my free time like working as a full-time person, still working on my farm.
and I think it makes it more fun when, like, you come home from work and you're exhausted and you're like, ah, oh, I get to do something fun and silly now. Like, it becomes
Yes.
more of a turn your brain off activity.
Yes.
I can see
Although,
your gorgeous little painting in the background
yes.
too.
And luckily, with my schedule, I'm probably going to get one day off a week, which
Oh,
is
that's so
great.
nice.
And that's really like one of the things I really wanted with whatever job I were to get, because I can only really paint during the day. And we'll see. I mean, I probably am going to have to wake up at like 5 in the morning, which that I'm not thinking about. You know, that's a problem for next week when I start.
Yeah, that's a problem for future you. She will persist, though. Honestly,
I
sometimes
must
waking up in the morning
persist.
is really nice.
Yeah, that's
I
what
had
I'm
myself on a
hoping.
schedule at some point last year where I was waking up at like 7 a.m. And this is not even last year, this was 2 years ago. This was when I was living at home. And I would wake up super early and I would make breakfast and read before work. I would read for like an hour before I started working every day. I gotta work on that. I haven't read in so long.
No, that's not true. You've been reading so much fan
It's
fiction.
literally like actually getting to be a problem. But guys, I'm working on it. I'm not even gonna tell everyone what I did. That was a really brave step in conquering my fan fiction addiction. But trust that I'm gonna go back to having offline hobbies, and I'm going to start reading physical books again.
You're starting the 12-step program of fan fiction addiction.
Like, basically, yes.
When do you have to make amends? Who are you going to be making amends to?
my fucking coworkers that I ignore their Slack messages so I can read chapter 19 of a K-pop fanfic in the same day that I started it. I gotta
I'm proud
get
of
my
your
ass
growth.
off the K-pop fanfiction. And you know what's not gonna be helpful is that I started stanning a new group. But I think I'm just gonna make myself not read fanfic at all for it because they're younger than me. Granted, by like 1 year,
It's
but
still
like
weird, though.
I'm not gonna read any fanfic for that group. If anyone's curious, it's P1 Harmony. I just started listening to them. They put out their first full album. They debuted 4 years ago and they just put out their first full album in
Wow.
February. They've only done EPs up until now. And I've been watching a ton of interviews and I think they're super fun, but I am like, their oldest member is more than a year younger than me. I mean, granted, it's
Yeah.
like a year and like 2 months, but still, I was like, and then I found out that only three of the members were born in 2001, two of them were born in 2003, and two of them were born in 2005. And I was like, no, 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 no,
Yeah.
no, no, no. So I picked my bias has to be the oldest one. And I'm just gonna listen to their music and be normal about them. I'm not gonna read any fan fiction about them.
Well, I'm quoting you on that, and all of our listeners know now.
No, I actually like think I can, I think I can do it.
I
I
believe
think
in
all
you.
the rest of the groups I listen to, all the members are older than me, like significantly. So
Okay.
I don't feel weird reading. I really should talk about K-pop fan fiction less. I really need to have some fucking humility on this podcast because I am just like in revealing embarrassing secrets. I mean, not that fan fiction is embarrassing. This whole episode's gonna be about fucking fan fiction, but the fact that I read about real people maybe should like make me feel a little bit worse about myself than it does.
No. It's all
I think
right.
I need to find a fiction series to care about the fanfic. I don't know. Somebody needs to write like full length, novel length Raven Cycle fanfiction so that I can do something other than reread the canon, which is what I think I'm gonna do to get back into reading, is that I'm just gonna reread the Raven Cycle. Because I know I can read
You
the whole
already
series.
reread it like
I
less than a
reread
year
it
ago.
last year. And every time you reread it, it reveals something new to you. And ever since I reread it, I've been blogging more about it, and there's been more subtext. So I think I'll enjoy a reread. I can also read the whole series in like 2 weeks. So that'll get my numbers up to 4 for the year, and I'll be back on track.
I actually, in preparation for this episode, I found a post I made a long time ago of the Raven Cycle fic recs, and I will send it to you because I
You
was looking at
must.
them and they are good. Like, I remember reading them, like, these are good because
Oh, you
the
need
Raven Cycle
to.
fans are smart people
The
and they
Raven
know how to
Cycle
write.
fans are literature connoisseurs
None
for
of them are that
YA.
long, unfortunately, because a lot of them, they're writing novellas, not necessarily novels. I do want to talk about what Tumblr did to me, what
Oh
they
my God, yes. I was
eradicated.
like, what do I not know about? I was like, is it offering you more horrid discourse than it already has
Well, that
been?
is also true. But Tumblr is doing Tumblr things, which is they eradicated my theme against my will. And so when I would type in my URL, it would take me to the Tumblr website and like
It's
a
so bad.
mobile version of
I hate
my
that they're
blog.
pushing that profile because it's making it less of a blogging site.
Exactly, which is
It's
the
more like
only thing they
Twitter.
have going for them.
Like, literally.
And it was really hard. Like, I had everything in my settings correct that should have kept my theme going. I never changed anything. It just disappeared one day. And so I had to change my theme. I worked really hard to get it back to where, so like similar to where it was. But I'm mad. Like, I'm kind of mad at them because I love having an actual blog. Like, I don't want it to just be a mobile thing.
But your
Just a
theme is cute now, and I did discover we figured out that Carly's actual blog wasn't showing because I was like, I haven't changed my theme since easily the year 2016 or 17. And like it was still very minimalist, and like the text was so tiny that you couldn't read it. And so I was like, are there people still making themes? Because I wasn't really sure if people still did that, but I found a couple very active theme blogs. Ironically, most of them, the sample blogs, have pictures of K-pop idols all over it, which is just so good. But we found new themes. And that means you can also now visit xpodcastgirls.tumblr.com, and it has a Ganges theme that Carly installed. And it's got links, and it's got all our memes that she reblogs for.
Which, speaking of memes on our blog,
Oh my God, yes. If you listened to the last episode, which I hope you have, I spent like way too many minutes explaining this meme that I think is so funny. Again, Carly and I have a different definition of memes than most people probably do. It's just any funny image. But anyway, there was this meme that says Spotify Wrapped 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it's just a picture of a monkey. I could not find it. I went on and on and on and was like, anybody, send it to me if you have it. First of all, fake. None of you had it. Second of all, Carly found it on our blog because it was on our own account because I had sent it to her to reblog to our negative, like non-existent followers on the Tumblr. So anyway, it's been located. I posted it on the Instagram story. I'm gonna post it on the main feed because it's so fucking funny to me. So that the monkey meme has been located, peace has been restored.
Thank God.
I'll run through a couple things really quickly so that we can get into back into fanfic discourse. Media wise, I got clowned at the fucking movies this week because my mom told me we were going to see a cheesy romance movie, and she took us to see a Christian romance movie that was very heavy-handed about God and yet had 3 jet ski scenes, 3 jet ski montages. They totally broke the flow of the movie. They like It would be gospel music like the whole time, except for the jet ski montages. I don't know. Do not go see Someone Like You in theaters unless you actually want to laugh so hard that you cry. It was kind of a good time in that way because we had no idea what we were walking into. My mom looks at me and goes, "Oh no." And then it was 2 hours long, 2 hours of my life.
Insane.
And then we went home and watched a serial killer movie because my mom decided we needed to watch Monster, starring Charlize Theron. And also, I'm watching the new live action Avatar, which I was really skeptical about. Even when I heard it was being made, like the casting, I think is fantastic, but I wasn't really sure because live actions are generally just so disappointing, especially when they're based on cartoons and fantasy. Like, I'm not gonna lie, some of the wigs are pretty bad in Avatar, but they are really capturing like the exciting parts of the story. And I think the CGI is very impressive. So I don't feel too taken out of it, even though I know so much of it is green screen, but I don't feel too taken out of it. And I think I'm gonna rewatch the original after I finish these 8 episodes. But everybody, let me know if you're watching it and your thoughts. I only started it because I listened to Drew Afualu's podcast like religiously, and she was watching it and said she liked it. And I trust. She's seen like every movie under the sun, so I trust her media recommendation. And it's definitely better than the fucking movie I got clowned about. So, give it a go if you like Atla, but definitely don't expect it to be as good as the cartoon.
Yeah, that's kind of a high ask.
I mean, it's like genuinely one of the best shows ever made. Like, if you were to ask me, which no one did, but this is my podcast, so I get to say it.
And it was for children, which like usually means that it's like not exciting or like fun for adults to watch, but it is.
It's
I
such a
loved it.
fantastic coming of age story because it's about friendship.
Friendship and love.
Friendship and love. What is King the Land?
King the Land is this K drama that I'm watching that, and I'm loving K dramas. Like, I'm really annoyed that I haven't started watching them sooner because they are basically just fan fiction.
Yeah, so
Like, they
true.
have all of the same tropes, which I'm loving. The basic premise is it's this guy who's like head manager of a hotel,
It's always a business relationship in
and I
K-dramas
love that. I
because it's
love
about
that.
real adults, like in their late 20s or early 30s.
And so it's a head manager of a hotel, and then this woman who is a like works at the front desk of the hotel, and he hates her because she has like a beautiful smile. So enemy it's
Okay,
got
I'm
enemies to
watching.
lovers. It's amazing. It also it's one thing about K-dramas is that the episodes are so freaking long, and there's
Yes, they're
also like
movies.
17 episodes in a season, and they're usually just one season, but
Yup.
it's a commitment, and I can only really
Yeah.
do like one episode a night. And also, it's like there's like 30-minute kissing scenes. Like, it really feels like they are milking their
Yes.
relationship, which I
Well,
love.
also, there's something so attention holding about the editing style of K-dramas where like they add little sound effects on like the cheesy scenes, and like I think that's how they used to be in like the early 2000s, was that was being done like unironically, and now I think they know it's a little like it's funny for international viewers that it's like it's so outside of what American TV is like. But like they'll like really zoom in and they'll like slow things down and they'll show the same scene from like five different angles, and like there will be like bokeh light flares everywhere and like the musical slow down. It's really captivating.
And I'm always like smiling so hard watching it and
Yes.
giggling
Ugh.
because it's so cute, and they know how to cast because the actors
Yes.
always have insane chemistry. And
Yeah.
I feel like with like Western romance movies that I've watched or like TV shows, it's kind of dry and like
Yeah.
not, this is not
It's
giving like
because,
K-dramas are.
yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's especially when you watch shows where like you know the celebrities and you know about their like actual real life relationships, and you're like, this is not it. But K-dramas are so fun. We love romance stories on this
I
podcast. Like,
really
we
do.
are not the type of girlies that think cheesy romance is a less valuable genre than other ones. Though I do think, well, I think we're gonna discourse about like the value of fan fiction compared to literature, like on a separate episode at some point. But I definitely wanna say, I don't think fan fiction technically like levels up to like a lot of published work. There are definitely some fan fictions that should be published works. And like, I'm sorry, but if some of the fan fictions I have read on Tumblr.com were published like officially, Colleen Hoover would not have a fucking job because people would be shook by how good the plots can get.
In my opinion, like the valuable part of fan fiction, like as a not a genre, but
A
a
medium.
medium, is that like the fun that people have with it and how it
Yes.
could like really create a very vibrant community online, less so about the quality of the work, because that's not always a given.
Yeah. I also respect fanfic writers so much because online, internationally, the default language to speak on Tumblr at least is English. I hardly ever see fan fictions written in other languages, like even Spanish, which it feels quite surprising to me because I have a lot of mutuals that speak Spanish. I have like a few South American mutuals, and I fucking love seeing them tag things in like Portuguese or Spanish. Like, it's just so exciting to me. Because I don't know, I love knowing that Tumblr is bringing people from all over the world together over interest, but whatever. The fan fiction writers who English is not their first language, and then they write so eloquently, like so much respect for them because I speak another language. I could never write something like that flows so nicely in German. I just don't know how. I couldn't write in German. I can barely write in German to begin with. Like, so it's just so impressive the people that take a character that already exists that people already love and then like do it justice and like expand on my love for that character. Like when you read good The Raven Cycle fan fiction, it makes the characters feel like even more alive. And that's saying something because like The Raven Cycle is like a perfect 10 out of 10 work.
That actually does bring me to the crazy fanfic discourse that I've seen.
You see so much more discourse than me. It's
I
so
do,
wild.
but I did go looking for this for this
Okay,
episode,
okay,
so that's
okay.
on me. But I've seen some conflict about out of character fics and whether or
Oh.
not they are ethical, which is a crazy concept to
Ethical.
me. Like that
We're
it's like
talking about
disrespecting.
ethics.
Well, some people claim that it's like disrespecting the character, the fictional characters in the original work.
That is literally the point of fan fiction, is to fictionalize the thing you're a fan of.
And also, it's like to some extent, fan fiction characters, like a fan fiction version of a character, is always going to be a little, at least a little bit out of character because it's
Well,
not the
because it's not from
author
the
that's
original
choosing.
author.
So that was
Also, I
crazy.
think like it's so bizarre when people are like, this character would not do that. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Are they your friends with them? They're a real person. You know for a fact that like in this alternate scenario, that's not how they'd behave. It's a fictional story. Like in my eyes, fan fiction has always been that the writer of the fanfic is just using the characters or even real people as a medium to tell their own fictional story. Like,
Yes, especially
to
when it's an alternate
me,
universe.
yeah, like the characters, honestly, they could do anything because I'm like, it's just their name. And like their dynamic has already been established, which makes fanfiction easier to write than a story from scratch.
And there are certain out of character things that some characters will do that take me out, and I have to not read that fanfic. But that does not mean it's unethical or
No,
like
and
bad. That's just a
I think
personal preference.
so many people forget that you can literally just not read something. That you can literally, like, also, if you really hate the way one author characterizes it and you're seeing it all the time, literally just fucking block them. I blocked a fanfic blog this morning because I don't like their takes.
Unless you're right.
And that's my right. And that's me controlling my media experience.
And we did already touch on the fanfic discourse of like, is it at the same level of literature?
And it's
And I
not.
think that that conversation, you know, we've mentioned it. We probably will talk about it again in another episode. But this other take that I saw was really crazy is that any reader fics are like immature and for like 12-year-olds. Like I saw some people being like, I was looking for fic and there's this reader fic that showed up. Like, are you 12? Like, I never want to imagine myself in this, like interacting with these characters. Like, why do you want to do that? Which is just, it's a
Okay.
romance. Like at this point, it's a romance, and it's because we all love this character and we all want to imagine them ourselves dating them. Like
Well,
that's what it's
also,
about.
yeah, it's like even in a traditional like non-fandom related, like a genuine like out in the wild romance novel, like, you know, like an Emily Henry type romance novel, you are imagining yourself as the main character. Like
Yes.
all fucking romance novels are self-serving. That's why you read them, is like not because this random woman character that has like a few personality traits that exists for 300 pages, like you don't feel some like spiritual connection with her. You're imagining this scenario and she is a vehicle for your own imagination. Like
So that take really was crazy to me. And
that's insane.
they're like, I
I
don't
can
judge you,
see.
but I do think you're immature and a child for liking this. It's like,
I
okay.
think so many people associate reader insert with like the 2012 One Direction fan fiction and like the
Yeah, I guess.
Imagine era of fanfic, and like Imagines did upgrade to one shots and like AUs. But you know what? I'm sorry. I think a crack fic is funny sometimes. I think sometimes you have to have a fan fiction that is so insanely out of character and is so 2012 One Direction. Because
Like the
it's,
one that we talked about in the Hunger Games episode.
yes, like
Like
that's
that was
fucking
perfect.
hilarious.
Yes.
But reader insert is not immature. I highly disagree with that.
Yeah, also it's like some of the best fanfic I've read have been reader inserts, like
Yeah,
not
100%
necessarily ones
agree.
that are a ship already existing in the universe. Sometimes they are
No.
worse.
No. Yeah, because sometimes people pick pairings that I'm like, in what world do these people have any chemistry? And it's like, okay, I guess maybe in your world, in this story, but I can't suspend disbelief with characters sometimes
Yeah.
enough.
And like you said earlier, that you're looking for more like fictional universes to like find fanfic. I was looking for Teen Wolf fanfic because I mean, y'all know, we used to love Teen Wolf and I used to write Teen Wolf fanfic and I was looking for some Alydia or other femme slash ships because I think those are the best in Teen Wolf. They don't exist. And some crazy other fucking pairings exist, like Peter and Styles. Like that one is crazy to me.
Dude,
And
wait.
why is there more of that than there are of any femme slash ships?
You're
Why?
completely right. When we did that AO3 episode and we were like trying to find the craziest tags, I like looked up Teen Wolf fanfiction because I knew that's where it would fucking be. And Peter Stiles is like such a batshit trope. Like, Peter was the fucking villain. What do you mean? He was
Yeah, it's so disappointing because,
old.
and like Teen Wolf, like the characters were like, I love some of the characters still. And it's upsetting that there haven't been as many good
Yeah.
fanfics that arose out of that fandom. It's
Yeah.
unfortunate.
When you rewatch it, sometimes you
Were
have to
choices
wonder.
made.
You have to wonder what crowd it was really attracting. Are these people that could come up with an original, highly thought out plot line?
Yeah, I guess you're right there.
Meanwhile, the K-pop girlies, these bitches are like in grad school about to write the next Hemingway, except it's fucking Stray Kids reader insert. Like they're doing the Lord's work. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk
No.
about tropes, which our previous episode is called AO3 Tropes and Tags, but that was more of us explaining the the landscape of a fanfic archive, and we didn't really talk about what we like about specific tropes. And so today we're only going to talk about like classic romance tropes and whether or not we like them.
And
It's
spoiler
completely
alert, we like
self-indulgent.
most of them.
Yeah, we love romance. We
Just
do.
love it.
I told Carly recently, wait, it was so funny. I was talking about how some fan fiction I just can't read because it's like too bizarre to me. Like the fucking Looney Tunes ass sex these people have in these fan fictions, I just can't read it. And I was like, is it sad that my craziest fantasy is someone telling me they love me back?
And my favorite fantasy is when they have like this blow up argument
Oh
that
my God.
results in like them taking a break and something horrible happening where the other person has to run to them in the hospital and be like, "Are you okay? Like, this is what I'm looking for."
Dude, the breakup trope, that's not on our list, but that's so real.
I love it. And especially in K-dramas, like I know they're going to break up at least once, and I'm
Yeah.
looking forward to it.
That's a good part of a romance novel is there has to be a conflict that makes you question whether or not they're going to end up together.
Yes, but they do have to end up
They do
together.
have to end up together. Let's establish that right off the bat. Happy endings only.
Yeah. So like there are like four main genres of fanfic, I guess. Hurt, comfort. Well, what were you going to say?
I would even argue that there's only three, and that hurt comfort is under angst.
Yes, I would. Yeah. I think it depends more if, like, some angst includes, like, them breaking up. And I don't think hurt comfort always includes, like, the relationship to be, like, up in the air. Sometimes it's really just
I think
hurt
some of
comfort.
angst is just an energy, though. Like, there can be angst in established
That's
relationship.
true. That's true. I guess the angst that I'm looking for is like toxic as fuck.
But anyway, I cut you off. What you meant to say was the
Yeah,
main
so there's
genres are.
hurt, comfort, and angst, which could be separated or not, fluff and smut. And both of us are like, we don't really look for fluff. Like that's kind of boring.
I think I need to maybe get back into fluff, though. Like, maybe that will break my reading fanfic addiction. Because I don't remember if I mentioned it on the last episode. I read a fanfic a couple weeks ago that was like, I went on like a website where you can translate words to pages, and I read like a 250 page book basically in 3 days. And I was like, okay, maybe I need to chill the fuck out. But like fluff, it doesn't draw me in.
Yeah, I like when there's fluff
No
like mixed into a
drama.
longer
Yeah.
fic, you know, like
It
that.
needs it.
I would look for that in a longer fic, but not necessarily a one shot. Like,
No, I don't read
no.
fluffy one shots. But I do feel like when talking about fluff, there are like levels of fluff that can be fun because they're just like silly to a degree. One of my favorite things to see is someone tag their fluff like tooth rotting. Like it's so fluffy and so sweet that like it'll make you sick. And I
Yeah.
just think that's so funny because it almost borders on like a comedy, you know, it's
Yeah.
so rom-com.
I will read fluff if it's hurt comfort fluff,
Oh my
which does
God, so
exist. I think
real.
hurt comfort could be under fluff or angst, like depending on what
That's
it is.
true.
Like if
Hurt
it's a
comfort is a
sick fic,
trope.
yeah. If it's a sick
Yeah.
fic, which we didn't put this in the list. I love sick fics when like one of the characters is like has the flu and they're bringing them chicken noodle soup. Like, I'm sorry, that's good to me.
Carly's
I
favorite
love reading
fantasy is
that.
someone taking care of you.
Stop. Sorry, is
We
that so
fantasized about
crazy?
being loved in a healthy way with a little bit of drama.
A little bit, you know, a
Just
healthy
a little
amount.
bit. Let's get into the tropes of it all, and let's start with the best one there is.
Yes, which I think everybody else, we're all thinking the same thing.
We'll give you a second to deliberate.
Enemies to lovers.
100 out of 100. Like, you will never read a fic that is fucking better than Enemies to Lovers. You'll never read a book that's better than Enemies to Lovers.
And this is why I love an AU because you can make any pairing enemies to lovers if you try
Yeah.
hard enough.
Like, Enemies to Lovers is just such a reliable, especially because with fan fiction, the tag Enemies to Lovers, you know what the ending is when you begin, but it's the like, oh, is this the point? Oh, is this the point? Is this when? And like, it's at what point is the argument gonna heighten so much that they admit that they're in love with each other?
Exactly.
It
And
feeds our argument. Carly
yes.
and I, here's a funny thing about Carly and I. Neither of us like fighting with people because fighting is very stressful and makes you cry. We love staging arguments in our minds. And so fictional romances that are full of argument that you know are going to have a happy ending are so satisfying to someone who wants to argue but is too scared.
I love when like they raise their voices and they really get in each other's faces and they're like, making accusations. Then you realize it's like, this is, you know way too much about this person and you are observing a lot.
Yeah, it's that classic like rom-com moment where it's like it's Princess Diaries. It's Princess Diaries to Royal Engagement. Okay.
Yes.
It's when her and Nicholas are like, I hate you, I loathe you. And then they kiss so hard that they fall into a
Yes,
fountain.
exactly. And all of the K-dramas that I've watched so far have all been enemies to lovers, and I love it. And I
Interesting. The
love
last,
when,
sorry, you
but
finish.
sorry, no, you go.
The last one I watched, like, didn't really have a romance plot, which was
That's
very
weird.
surprising to me. It, like, kind of insinuated at times that Little Women, it, like, insinuated at times that there was going to be a romance plot, and then it ended and there wasn't. And I was very
Interesting.
shocked.
Yeah, the ones that I've watched, like they're the two enemies to lovers plots have been a little bit different. Like at first it was the first one that I watched, it was the woman in the relationship that was flawed and she grew as a person and then they started to connect. And then this other one I'm watching, it's the man that's a little more flawed. And I love the redemption arc that's like implied in the enemies to
Yes.
lovers. Sometimes it's both of them that have to do some growing, but a lot of the times that burden lies on one of the characters. And I just love redemption arc.
I love when an enemies to lovers is based on a misunderstanding from the past. Oh my God, when it's like they've known each other their whole lives, or like I'm even thinking of Emily Henry's book. Fuck, what is that called? I don't remember what the book is called. I don't feel like looking it up. But anyway, it's about this woman who works in publishing, naturally, because every fucking main character has to be a writer. That's even true in fan fiction. Fucking everyone's a writer always. Anyway, they are like arch nemesises in their industry. And it's all because of like one lunch they had where someone was bitchy. And then like years later, they're like, it's like it becomes like forced proximity, basically. But like I love when it's based on a misunderstanding. And then like when they finally hit the like peak fight and one of them brings it up and they're like, wait, that's why you hate me? And it's like, of course that's why I hate you. And they're like, I didn't take it that way. And like when one of them hates the other just because they hate them and neither of them can remember why. Oh,
Yeah,
oh.
that's good. That's good. I also love when it's enemies to friends to lovers, when there's multiple stages. Because I love a straight friends to lovers, especially when it's childhood friends to lovers. Like, that's just. I just love that.
Childhood
But
friends to lovers can be so beautiful because it's like the one character has seen the other go through so many heartbreaks, and it's just like they're never, it's like right person, wrong time every single time.
Yeah. I like enemies to friends to lovers because
So
usually
do
the
I.
friend stage, they're still pining after each other. Like
Yes.
the feelings were established much earlier. And this is just an in-between stage where they don't want to admit that they are in love
Yeah.
with each other. And it's just so good. So
The
good.
friend stage can be so tense. And also, the friend stage has so much denial where, like, the other people in the story are like, when are you guys going to admit that you're in love? And they're like, we're not in love. We're just like, we're finally, you know, we've reached a ceasefire in like our enemieship. Or like, they finally admit that the other person is tolerable, quote unquote. But it's like, I'm so in love with you. I want to throw up.
Yeah. And that also leads into another one that we have in our list is that it makes it more of a slow burn, the
Oh.
more stages that there are until they get into a relationship. And we
Yes.
both love slow burn. Like, it
I
makes it so much better, in my opinion.
That's why I love a super long fan fiction, because it one, it's just more like a book, but I love not knowing when it is finally gonna work out. And I love when there's a bunch of false starts to their relationship, or like when they think they're finally there and then there's a conflict that like pushes them back apart. Oh, a
Or
slow
it's like,
burn with many stages.
And when they're like, they get really close to each other, like they're stuck in a closet or something, and it's like, are they gonna kiss or are they going to push each other away? And
And then the door opens. The
the
Princess
door
Diaries. It
opens.
literally happens in the Princess
There need to be more Princess Diary AUs out there.
Oh my God, oh my God, you're mine.
I've actually thought, like, okay, we're both kind of like wanting to write more fan fiction because it's fun. And I'm like, should I just, because it's fan fiction and nobody cares about plagiarism really, should I just take a K-drama plot and
Yeah.
just put my own characters in it? Like, that's what I want to
100% you
do.
should, because the reality is that when you do like a story that already exists, AU, you end up changing the plot to suit the characters. Like you don't steal the dialogue. If you steal somebody else's plot twist, like the reality is that like so much of professional writing is stealing, because when you quote unquote steal someone's plot, you inevitably do it differently. And like there will be spots along the way where you go, no, I'm gonna do it this other way. And then it turns into a different story.
It's just a inspiration jumping off point.
And that's like what every trope is like none of like all of these tropes are done a million times over, but none of them, if done right, should read exactly the same as another. I feel like fanfic writers on Tumblr can be so obsessed with claiming that other people are plagiarizing their fanfic just because, like, I don't know. We talked about it in Twilight Fanthropology about how, like, someone will write a specific type of AU and then everyone else will start writing their version of that AU. I don't view that as like stealing my idea. I see it as like I wrote one, people really liked the concept and they had different ideas of how that would go. That's literally the fucking point of fan fiction, is you read a story and you think, what if it went a different way? Like,
And if any of you are even remotely a part of the Last of Us fandom and read Last of Us fanfic, every fanfic is exactly the same. Exactly the same. They're all, most of them are set in universe. And so it's like, oh, we're going to fill in the gaps like between episode 8 and episode 9. And I've read so many of them. And a lot of them, aren't as like in depth and like original and creative, but it's not, doesn't make it plagiarism. Like, this is fan fiction. Let's be
No.
so for real.
Yeah. I Harley's right. Both of us are getting back into fanfic writing, which was something that we did in high school. And it sparks so much joy because you're just like immersing yourself into a fictional world that you enjoy, but you're in control. You're God. Okay, actually, this jumps so perfectly off back to the fucking stuck in a closet part of the slow burn. I've mentioned forced proximity a couple of times, but oh boy, do I love a and there was only one bed fan fiction. I love it. I loved it back in the Supernatural days. Okay. Every single I never No, I don't think I was about to say maybe that's not true, but I really don't think I ever read in canon Supernatural fics because I was like, I don't give a fuck about the canon universe, to be honest with you. And it like most fictional things I read, I don't really feel like reading in canon, because if I wanted to read in canon, I would watch or read the source material. Like with Hunger Games, I'm like, I'm not interested in canon.
Also, it's like you're not going to do it justice.
Exactly. So I want to read an AU, which we're gonna literally do a whole separate episode on our favorite types of AUs.
That there's so many.
There's
So
so
many.
actually we also have some that we're gonna hate on, probably.
Yeah,
Trust.
that's true.
I think we've decided not to do hating in this episode because there's so many fanfic tropes, but I don't really know that there's a lot that I truly dislike.
No, me neither. It's more the AUs that
Yeah.
I like we
I
will be
think
hating in that episode.
there's like very niche plot points that I dislike, but not any like overarching like standard tropes. But anyway, forced proximity, it's in the name. It's when two characters gen it really flows the best with enemies to lovers. It's like they don't want to be in one space, or even if it's like strangers to lovers, like it's just got so much tension in that they didn't know that they were going to be stuck in one place together for an amount of time that they did not plan for. And it ends up being the thing that gets them together because there's nothing to do other than like confront their differences or fall in love or like overshare or something. And there's so many like mainstream versions of this I can think of. I'm thinking of Bridgerton when like their carriage breaks down on their honeymoon and they have to go to the inn, and it's like they're literally married, but like the forced proximity of like confronting their argument, it's that's where that line where Simon says, "I burn for you," which is a fucking crazy line. I need to read that book series.
I have not seen Bridgerton, so I'm not aware of that.
What? It's so good. You would love it.
I know.
It's
But
so
I
good.
personally, I like forced proximity. I find a lot in The Last of Us fan fiction when it's like a Joel Reader fic or like even like Joel Tess if people want to do that, which usually they don't. Because I like it when it's a character that is really closed off, like Joel is. And that's a lot of the ones I read are in universe. And so if it's out, like if it's not in universe, you can make Joel whoever you want because his character is like defined by the trauma of the apocalypse. And it's usually like, they're traveling together trying to survive. And when you're only surviving with one other person, like I love the tension that can come out of that. And so with forced proximity, I like it when there's a character that's closed off because otherwise there's no other scenario that they could actually admit their feelings for the other person. And I just maybe that's just because I love a emotionally repressed character. Like maybe I need to unpack that. But I'm obsessed with that. I'm obsessed with the only one bed and forced
I think.
proximity when it's like a long forced proximity, like you're only with this other person. I just love it.
I think honestly, like most romance stories function better when one person is emotionally close. I think that's honestly like the standard is one person has to be less emotionally available than the other one. When they're both emotionally unavailable, that's even
Yeah,
better.
because then it's like, well, how is this going to happen? Like something dramatic needs to happen to like,
And the
be the
forced
stimulus.
proximity will do it.
It will
When
do it.
you are like, there's a really old supernatural fanfic I'm thinking of that is a wedding AU. And it's like, there's only one hotel room left, or like, there's only one guest room in the house. And like, these two people who have a little bit of beef or like don't know each other that well, or like, forced to like do all these things together, and that's how they realize that they care for each other. Like it literally is such a perfect, it's like a powder keg, you know, where it's all this built up tension because they're literally confined together and there can't be anyone else in the space. There cannot be anyone else there.
Another rom-com that I'm thinking of that uses this trope is The Proposal with Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds. Have you
I
ever
actually
seen it?
haven't seen this one.
It's a good movie.
I should
Like
watch it.
I did rewatch it recently and it did not age very well,
Ooh, they mostly
but
don't.
no. But I love the plot and I think it would make a really great AU and more people need to be making The Proposal AUs. Well, basically it also is a fake dating where she's like her visa is almost up, so she has to get married like in like a week. And they go visit his like the quote unquote in-laws and they have to share a bed or like pretend that they're sharing a bed. It's amazing. Amazing.
Well, now let's just talk about fake dating.
Yes, which
That's
I love.
fake dating can be done so perfectly, but it's all about the setup of why they're fake dating. It's so important that the why is sound, because like there has to be a setup to why they're choosing this person. I think fake dating, again, it either has to be enemies to lovers or friends to lovers. There's no strangers to lovers in fake dating that I find
Unless it's
interesting.
like, I think I've seen a few versions of that where it's like they're, I mean, but it's usually not complete strangers, but like they, you know, see somebody that they used to know. Like sometimes it's an ex, or sometimes it's like old friends that, you know, they don't like anymore, and they're like, oh, like this is my boyfriend or this is my girlfriend. Sometimes that can be done, but a lot of the times they're either friends or like, you know, have some sort of conflict with each other.
I think some of the best fake datings I've read are like make my ex jealous fake dating with like your best friend that I love when the premise for a fake dating is I want to make them jealous so I can get them back. And they're like, just we need to date for just a couple of weeks and like make them miss me. And then we'll have like a big fake breakup and they'll come back to me. But then the person that they've chosen to fake date already had feelings or like thinks they don't have feelings. And then they realize them during the fake dating. And then the person who originally proposed it has to think that they have none. Like they have to, both of these people have to think that it truly is not meaningful. Otherwise, if someone agrees to fake dating and they already know they have feelings, that's not as exciting to me, because then it's just like you're just taking advantage of a situation. But if you both have to be convinced that there's really nothing there.
Yes, that's so true.
But it's just so, I also love like a family friends fake dating where it's like we need to convince our parents that we're not both lonely for the holidays. Like we need to, our parents have been asking us to date forever. Like we need to date and prove to them how bad it would be. Like, oh, that's a good fucking trope.
And I love in a fake dating scenario when they are not forced, but like they have to kiss in like some scenario to like prove it. And then that's usually when the feelings, they're like, oh, what was that? What was
Or when they
that?
have a terrible first kiss and then they're like debriefing later and they're like, everybody knows it's fake. Like, that was a terrible kiss. Like, we need
We
to
got to practice.
practice.
Perfect. 10 out of 10, no notes.
I'm trying to think, is do we think like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days qualifies as a fake dating? That's like
Yes.
maybe the best romance rom-com of all time. No,
I
not even maybe.
agree.
It's the best rom-com of all time.
I love that movie.
They
Oh my
need, oh my
God.
God, fan fiction writers need to be writing How to Lose a Guy in 10-Day AUs, because girl who's dating to try to ruin the relationship and guy who's dating to try to prove he can stay in one, so fucking good. That movie, if you haven't seen it, I'm about to spoil the ending. So I think you should have seen it. It came out in like 2005. But so if you haven't seen it, that's your problem. All culminating in the You're So Vain cover at the end event. More
Crazy.
people need to do spiteful karaoke in fan fictions. I actually read one recently where that happened.
That's, you know, that's an obscure trope that we need to talk about it.
Spiteful karaoke. If a fan fiction pops up called Spiteful Karaoke on Tumblr in the next 6 months, know that it's me and pretend you don't know.
I know, now I want to do that because that's like, that's so good. That's so good. Also, like with How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, like I sometimes think I'm like, I'm biased because I, adding myself here, Matthew McConaughey does something to me. But I'm glad to know that it's not just me and that like that movie is
It's
perfect.
the best movie of all. Like, it's literally the best 2000s movie there is. It's the best romance movie there is. Like, it's probably in like my top 10 favorite movies of all time. And I'm like, I like a real like cinematic movie too, but there's something so fucking perfect about the jokes in that movie, the timing. Like, it really is such a good romance trope. And like, it's a good fake dating because like both of them think they're fake dating, but they're
But
like real
they're
dating.
not really fake dating, yeah.
And
Oh,
like,
so
oh,
good.
the scenes where she like meets his friends and family and she's trying to like ruin the relationship and he's trying to save the relationship, and that's when they realize they really work together, is when she like fits in with his family.
Oh, so good.
We have secret dating lumped in with fake dating, but I guess maybe they are more separate.
Yeah, I think it's just like a, yeah, I guess it is kind of separate. I like secret dating when it ends in a blow up, like, you know, something like it's, you know, everybody hates them, or it's because a secret was revealed and now their feelings have changed, or they think their feelings have changed. It happens a lot in the K-dramas that I've watched so far, and I love that. It also usually ties into some of my favorite AUs, like a boss employee AU. I like that. Or like sometimes
Sorry.
a neighbor AU can be secret
Oh,
dating
yes.
if it's like they have kids or something, or like I personally like that.
Stop. That's so good. I have never read one like that.
A lot
I
of Joel
always.
AUs are like that because he has kids in canon,
Right.
so it's good. It's good.
I think most of the secret dating AUs I've seen as of late are, well, I'm outing myself as being a K-pop reader again, but well, you guys already know that about me, so I'm gonna pretend I'm not ashamed of it. Our like best friend's brother fake dating.
Yeah.
It's a good
Well,
trope.
I'm gonna out
It's a
myself
good trope.
here as best friend's dad or dad's best friend.
Oh my God. Are there Joel reader dad's best friend?
It's pretty much all of them.
You need to send me those.
I will.
Yeah, it's best friend's brother, like best friend's sister, like even like oh, within the friend group, secret dating of
Yes.
like we don't want to mess up the dynamic and like, oh my God, secret enemies to lovers, secret dating.
When it's
And
like
like we have
they're
to.
enemies in the like in the group of friends, or like, you know, I see it a lot in Dramini fan fiction, because, you know, it'll start with enemies to lovers. They'll realize that they're in love with each other, and so they start secret dating because they, you know, don't want to deal with the consequences of telling everybody, and that's always good,
Because then they
always.
have to keep up the front that they hate each other. And I love when there's one character that's sus of them the whole time and is like, you
I
guys are
don't see
laying it
this.
on too thick. When secret dating, enemies to lovers, secret dating starting with hate sex, I'm saying it. I'm addressing the elephant in the
Yeah, I feel like we're not talking about a lot of the smut
No.
tropes because we're not gonna out ourselves like that, like
No. And
that
it's like
much.
there's so many different ways that smut can fit into all of these plots. And like smut is really like a don't yuck my yum kind of situation, you know, like everybody likes something different and
Yeah.
I'm not gonna like judge people's pre I mean I'll judge some of them, I'm sure, but I'm not gonna like outwardly publicly judge people's opinions on different types of smut, and like
Yeah.
they fit into all of these tropes.
Yeah. So
I
true.
when I saw that Christian romance movie 2 nights ago, I literally was telling Carly there are like three kisses in the whole of the romance movie. What? There wasn't even
Wild.
like an insinuation that like anybody had ever slept with each other. Like even the married couples never like kissed on the lips. I was like, what is fucking happening? This is not how a romance movie is supposed to go.
Yeah, that's odd. But I guess it's not. It's kind of expected if it's
I
Christian.
guess. But like, I think it's like in fanfic, you either read a fic knowing that it's gonna be like overtly so smutty, or it's gonna like gloss over those parts.
Yeah.
And that's fine either way. But you can do a smut scene in a fanfiction that like really progresses the plot. You really can,
So
especially with enemies
true.
to lovers.
Yeah. I'll tell you about one after we stop because I'm not going to mention it here. But that one was good. That one was good.
I wonder if we have opposites attract on this list. That is, it can be enemies to lovers, opposites attract.
Usually.
But I don't know if it's always like, so I was looking at like classic tropes, and I kind of hate that on Tumblr, and I guess like a lot of places they call it like grumpy and sunshine, or it's like, you know, like the black cat golden retriever type dynamic. But I do think opposites attract doesn't always have to be enemies. It's like one person is just put off by the other. Like, it is kind of funny to watch like a really reserved character who like is kind of shut off to people like open up to this person who's the complete opposite of them, that's like so extroverted and like so hopeful about the world. I mean, the fucking Hunger Games is opposites attract.
And they weren't really
And
enemies at first. It was like kind
no.
of not even strangers, but just like
The Hunger Games
just
has
so
every
good.
good trope there is. They have forced proximity. They have
Secret dating.
secret dating. They have enemies to lovers. They have
Or fake
star-crossed
dating, I
lovers.
guess.
Yeah.
And secret dating, I guess, both.
Yes. They have all of it.
Susan Collins did that.
Suzanne Collins wrote the most insane romance novel that's not a romance novel of all time. And I wish I'd said this during the Hunger Games episode we did, but I hate the discourse that like the Hunger Games shouldn't have had a romance plot in it. What do you
I think we
mean?
did talk about this,
Oh, did we? That
actually.
like love is part of survival? What do you mean?
Yes, I
Oh,
think we did talk about that.
maybe that is a trope we should have put on here. Is like, but I mean, I guess it's like an apocalypse trope. It's like love is part of survival. Oh,
So good. Or it's
like,
like when there's some sort of trauma, like in an angst fic, and it's
yeah.
like, oh well, I don't do relationships because I always end up hurt, or like I can't trust people. But then like, it just happens because you have to trust people to survive.
I love the trope where people are like, I won't get into relationships because I always hurt people. Like, I always fuck it up. They don't trust themselves.
Love some self-loathing.
But I think Grumpy Sunshine can be very fun. Like, especially in like a fluffy fic where it's just like one person is just like resistant to admitting they like the other person's vibe.
Yes.
What do we have left?
Well,
Oh.
love triangles is also in the Hunger Games.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, yeah, it is.
It
I
is.
pretend it's not. Because I don't care about that love triangle. But there's no triangle to me.
I like love triangles when it's obvious who is like, I don't like it when they're like, oh, we're gonna pick the, the one that nobody thinks it's gonna be. I don't like that shit. No.
No.
No. I want it to
No.
be the person that I want it to be.
It needs to be obvious who it's supposed to be. And then there needs to be a moment where you're not sure if it will be that person. And then I think the best love triangles have a moment where the main character loses both of them. And then could go to the wrong one and chooses the right one. I love, oh, reconciling as a fan fiction trope.
Just guess.
I love a love triangle that has like a really long like gap between, it's an amazing slow burn a love triangle can be. I don't know. Like The Summer I Turned Pretty is a love triangle, but it's like such a ridiculous one because they're fucking brothers. The like two guys she's in love with. And she goes back and forth between them too quickly, way too quickly. And like, it's kind of funny because the whole thing is set up to make you think that there's only one option. And then again, this is not a spoiler because this book series came out like fucking more than 10 years ago. She, I think, in the end, does end up with the one that you wouldn't expect. It's like not the one that it's set out to be from the beginning, but I guess the fandom considers him like the right choice, like the one that she's actually meant for. But that's a complicated love triangle. I don't think love triangles should involve two of the people being related.
Yeah, that's
That's
a
just
lot.
my take.
I do like when one of them is like a childhood best friend, and another one is one that's like a little bit more of a starting out as a romance. Like, you know, they just start dating, and then there's the childhood best friend in the corner, like, oh my God, fuck,
Dude,
I'm
a
jealous.
fake dating love triangle? That's a crazy one.
Where it's like, oh, the actual person that I like
Yeah.
I can't date, so I'm gonna date this other person. Is
Well,
that what you
also
mean?
like the make my ex jealous. Fake dating that turns into a love triangle where like the ex is jealous, but the person they're fake dating is like, no, we can't break up yet. They don't believe it yet. And they're like prolonging the fake
Yes.
relationship.
Yeah,
Or like,
I like the jealousy that comes with a love triangle. That's what makes a love triangle good, is when there's a lot of jealousy. Because
yes.
that's hot.
It, there needs to be some jealousy. I think any fic should have like one moment of jealousy at least. Even if it's like one of the characters gets jealous and the other person is like, "Aw, do you think I'm flirting with them?" And like it's like a Grumpy Sunshine kind of thing of like, oh, then there's the jealousy. This is like not even a trope. Then there's the jealousy that is like the self-hatred of like, well, of course you like that person more. Like I'm not worthy of you type
Yeah.
jealousy.
But
That
they
causes so
actually
many
like that
problems.
person.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good enemies to lovers one is like the I hate you because I'm not good enough for you.
God.
Sinister. Whoever came up with that trope
It's
changed lives.
probably some like repressed Victorian writer.
Oh my God. When you think about the fact that so many amazing stories have been written by like teenage girls throughout time. Like Mary Shelley was what, like 17 when she wrote Frankenstein? Like truly, there is some girl out there writing fanfic that is on trajectory to become the next great author.
Yes, it
So
is.
while fanfiction might not be of the same caliber as like literature, I do really believe there are some fanfiction writers who are capable of it.
Yes,
They're
and
just
probably
making their
some
way.
literature that, I mean, some good literature that started out as imagining characters that they already liked.
True.
And they're like,
I bet
I'm
that's
just
so
going to change it
true.
a little bit.
I bet there are so many books that we don't know started as like headcanon fan fiction.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe like Wuthering Heights was like fanfic of like the royal family or something.
That's so funny. Oh my God, wait, that's so funny. We're gonna have to talk about royal AUs in the AU episode because I have some shit to say about royal AUs. But our last trope. Carly, would you like to explain the 5+1? Because I didn't know what you
Yes.
meant by it. And then when you said it, I was like, yes.
So like there's a it can be kind of formatted in a lot of, or I guess the format is the same, but the content can be a lot different. So a lot of the times it's like five times we said I love you, and like the one time we meant it, or something like that. There was one that I, speaking of my Raven Cycle fic recs, I found one that was a 5+1. It was 5 times Ronan slept at Adam's, and the one time Adam asked him to. That was good. And I love when it's like a little bit creative, and it's not one that you usually see,
Yes.
like it's fandom specific. I can't think of any other ones that I've read, but a lot of the times it's like when there's some sort of unrequited feelings. How do I say that?
Oh,
Unrequited?
unrequited. I
Unrequited.
don't know. I think
That
I say
doesn't sound right. Like,
unrequited.
I think I said it right.
Yeah,
Unrequited.
I think so.
Okay, whatever. But I
Unrequited
love when
love is a
it.
good trope too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that usually is tied into enemies to lovers.
It can also be friends to lovers.
It's
It can
a lot
be
of times it
forced
is friends to lovers.
proximity. Unrequited love is also slow burn. Like,
But 5+1, you know, when you see a 5+1 fic, 9 times out of 10 that is well written, because they have a theme, that those writers have a theme in their mind. They know what they're trying to say, and it's,
Yeah.
you know, it's more intentional than some other fics, maybe.
Yeah, and 5+1s don't tend to be like long fics. Like typically they're like one post. But I do love like I would love to see a long fic that is the setup of a 5+1 of like
Yeah.
I saw one recently that it was like five times so and so apologized and one time they didn't and it wasn't a happy ending fic and I was like ah, because I don't
Oh
read
my
many fics
God.
that don't end in them together but it's like five times we argued and one time we didn't make up is like insane level of angst
Yeah.
and it is a good setup of like repeating the same thing over and over again, and then the last one being the catharsis or like the shattering of the relationship, it would make a really good full length fic because
Yeah.
most romance stories are about like circling the same issue over and over and over again.
And a lot of the times 5+1 is, I mean, I've seen a few where they're like reincarnation, the
Oh.
reincarnation trope where it's like, five times that we we didn't fall in love and the one time that we did, or like the five times it worked and the or the five times it didn't work and the one time it did. I love that. Even though I don't usually go for a reincarnation fic, when it's something like
Oh,
that and it
yeah.
like it's so good.
I don't really do like soulmate AUs because sometimes I see a fic tagged soulmate AU and they don't mean it in the way of like, you know, those fucking fics where it's like your soulmate's name is written on your
I
arm or
can't with
like at birth you're
those.
given a necklace. It's like those I don't read. They're not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
But I love when something that's tagged soulmate AUs really just means that like, these people were meant for each other.
Yeah.
And it's a very classic movie and TV trope of like the first time they meet, it's like there's that instant thing where they're like, I feel like I've met you before. That's such a banger of a line. I don't care how many times it gets reused. I feel like we've met before is always gonna hit a home run.
Yeah, so true. Like,
I was just
we were
watching
always meant, this
Avatar.
was always meant to happen. No.
Like, oh my God, in a fic where they find out that like they've crossed paths before, that would
In
be a
the,
great 5+1.
yes, Hometown Cha 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 has that, which is another reason for you to watch it. Another K-drama.
I can literally like I'm already thinking of a Raven cycle like five times they didn't meet and one time they did, of like Blue and Gansey.
Yeah, I love a what is the name of that trope? Like cross paths, but didn't
I
I feel like there's a
guess.
name for it?
I don't know. I don't know if
Missed
there's like,
connection, kind of.
oh, maybe. Oh, a
There's like
misconnection
a
is
yeah.
a good trope. It doesn't ever have a happy ending, but I love like
Sometimes.
I love a one night only. Like, do you remember that movie that fucking Chris Evans is in where they get stuck at the train station overnight?
Yes. I think that's a really good movie. I love that
That's a
movie.
really good movie. And I don't think they end up together. And it's like it's literally just like a little vignette of like one night in their life.
There needs to be more fanfic written like that.
Yeah. Like just like one moment together and then like think about it for the rest of your life type deal.
My God, now I want to write
The one that got
fanfiction.
away. Oh my God, the one that got
One
away
that's what
fic.
it's called. Oh no, I guess that's different. That's a
Damn.
little bit different than
The one that got
Misconnections.
away could be a lot of things, but oh my God, like the one that got away returning fic, those make great love triangles
Yes.
of like the person, it'll be like we met on vacation, we had a 2-day fling, now I'm in a serious relationship and oh my God, now they work at my company. I never thought I'd see you again. Like
Yes. Or it was like they were in a relationship the whole time and they were cheating. I've seen that a few times. That can
I
be
don't really read
juicy.
cheating fan fictions,
I
but
don't usually, because adultery. I don't. Okay, the reason why I'm saying adultery is because when I was looking for discourse about fan fiction, people were like, putting adultery in fan fiction is unethical.
like, no, it's not. It's a fiction.
Sorry, it can
But
be juicy sometimes.
it can be juicy. I just don't think it really excites me. Like I don't, there's a
It
part
needs
of
to
me that
be
I,
in combination with a lot of other tropes.
yeah, it needs to be the we were on a break type.
Yes.
I think like actual cheating just makes me sad.
Yeah, that's true. Like, that's why I don't usually go for it.
When you've been cheated on, which I have, like cheating fic just it's never satisfying because it just makes
That's
you
true.
upset because you're like, that's an ultimate betrayal of trust. How can you guys get back together?
So I do like when, like, it's not the person in the main pairing that's doing the cheating, but it's they were cheated on.
Oh, yeah, when it's like mentions of past whatever.
Yeah,
You
because I do
know,
think that leads to some good backstory.
there can be good fix though, where it's like one of the people in the main pairing did cheat in their last relationship, but like had a good reason or like feels so guilty about it. And like now they're like, that's the reason that they push everyone away because they're like, I don't want to fuck up again. Like,
Or if the person, if they quote unquote cheat, but they're in a fake dating situation where it's like they're fake dating, so it's not technically cheating, but the other person is
yes.
still feels wrong, you know?
Yes. Fake dating comboed with cheating. That's crazy. Also, like non-established relationship cheating of like when one character is like, we're not together. Like, this is not a relationship. And then the person like goes off and goes on a date with someone else and they're like, well, we're not dating. That conflict, you said we weren't dating. That conflict is insane in a fan fiction. However, if it ever happened in my real life, I would jump on the
That's why it's fan fiction. It's
Exactly.
fantasy.
Like, I can deal with toxic relationships only in fiction where I know it's gonna work out fine. And if I'm gonna read a fanfic that doesn't have a happy ending, I wanna know from the beginning. I don't wanna be upset.
Yeah, that's
I
true.
wanna know that it's coming.
Yeah, I can see that.
Shall we move on to our honorable mentions so you can explain what this means to me in our notes?
So it's called, so if you guys have never heard of tvtropes.org, it is quite the archive
What a
where
blast from the past when you brought that up.
I know. And now it's like a great resource for a podcast. Because a lot of the names of the tropes that they list, like, also they have every single thing that's ever happened in fiction
It's not even
on
just
this
tropes.
website.
It's like plot points. Like,
Or just like happenings that are like kind of implied. But there's one that's called Draco in Leather Pants, which is definitely because it happens a lot in Harry Potter fan fiction, either like Dramione or Dreri. But it's when a villainous character is perceived in a more sympathetic life or light in the fanfic based on the canon. So like
where
a
did they
lot of
get
the
leather pants
I
from?
don't know. I don't know. I don't think it's explained.
When you wear leather pants, everyone perceives you more sympathetically.
But I like it because it's also so out of character, but there's still a little bit of tension. Like they're not like, let's say that I still cared about the Harry Potter fandom and I, was upset that Draco ended up this way in the canon. Well, then the fanfic can kind of fix that. Although I don't care and I just like the drama. Although
It's
I'm
a
not
redemption
reading.
arc.
Yes, and I said that before that I like a redemption arc, but it's usually when it's a character that doesn't even deserve it,
Got
like,
it.
and it's so out of character, and that's why I will read Dramione fanfic because it's not actually like it's disrespecting the canon, and I 100% support disrespecting J.K. Rowling's canon.
That's so funny and so real. I hate any, I don't read Harry Potter fan fiction anymore. I definitely did at one point, but I can't even actually remember like vividly any specific ones I read. So I don't think I ever like super got into it. But any Dramione fic that keeps up the actual canon of like basically how he like abused her,
Yeah, it is like,
I don't fuck with that.
and also he's like racist.
Yeah, like you have to completely take those characters out of their world and out of their existing dynamic in order for me to be okay with it.
And that's
Just
why
steal
I've
their names. That's plagiarism I'm
basically,
cool with.
that's exactly what I think. Because also, I don't care about the Harry Potter universe. Like, I don't want to read about
Exactly.
magic. I don't. Like,
No.
I
Even
don't.
like when we were into the 100, I was like, I don't really fucking want to read in world. Like,
No.
I don't want you to try to explain grounder lore. I don't want you to try to get to like a fucking ration thing or like being a
Yeah.
bunker. Like, just put them in a coffee shop in 2020. Like, it's
Yes.
fine. You can do that. It's fine.
Yeah. Especially when like I really don't like Harry Potter fanfic, because a lot of Harry Potter fanfic are people that still like the series and
Yeah.
are like actually really passionate about it, which is crazy in this day and age. And then it's like they try to make a plot and it's not just like romance, and that,
Yeah.
no, cut it out.
No.
You don't need it.
Make it stop. If I read like a fictional fantasy series, I hardly ever want the fan fiction to be in the canon.
Yeah, I agree.
Except for the
I
Raven
like,
Cycle. I'm fine with that.
yeah, the Raven Cycle. Well, I feel like if you make it an AU, like, how else are you going to explain the relationships between all of the characters? Because it's so unique, like, all of their
Yeah.
relationships.
Like you can take out the magic and it can make sense. But like the Raven Cycle, I feel like the fantastical elements are, despite the fact that they're the focus of the story, most of the characters are still technically human. So
Yeah.
like it works that they're like at one point they were normal people. So
Yeah. And they a lot of the fanfic, even though it's in universe, it doesn't even really mention too much of the
yeah.
fantastical elements. You know,
Right.
it's
They don't
just
ever like
implied.
write chapters where they go on a new search for Glendower. Like
Yeah.
I wouldn't read that probably. I'd be like that happens enough in the canon.
Yeah.
You they
Also
need to
in
live
the
between existing scenes.
Yeah. And also in the canon, there is a lot of character building, like,
Yeah.
sections. So a lot of the fanfic just kind of reads as like a character building section of the book that's
Yeah.
separated from the actual plot of finding Glendower and all that.
Yeah.
I do like reading The Last of Us fanfic that's in universe, because I don't think that The Last of Us universe is really the focus of the series. Like, it's kind of a backdrop that's, you know, lends to the characters' relationships. And also,
Yeah.
Joel, he's, you know, I'm not going to use the word that we canceled in the last episode, but he is my character, like, you know. And I just think that there's a very few instances that he can become that character in a universe that's not
Yeah.
The Last of Us, because a part of his character is that he's a mass murderer.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't feel like I want to read a romance where he's a mass murderer, like, in real life,
I
like shooting up Walmart. Like, let's not do that.
I think the fun thing about fan fiction is that you're taking these characters that I mean, I was gonna say don't exist. People write plenty of fan fiction about people who do exist, but like you characterize them so much that it's
Yeah.
not them. And you just take this person you like and you put them in a situation and then you play with them like a doll.
Oh, we're just playing with Barbies still. I've 20 somethings.
Fan fiction is literally playing with your Barbies. If you had elaborate storylines for your Polly Pockets, you should probably be a fan fiction writer. And that's all I'll say on
Now
that.
looking back, like, I was using the same exact plots. Like,
Exactly. Like swooping in to save
neighbors AU, like, I was doing that.
tea.
But we will definitely be doing another episode specifically on AUs, because it
There's too
definitely
many.
it needs its own episode.
There's too many for us not to talk and gab. This was such a fun episode.
I agree.
I had so I love You can tell, I'm sure, how much we genuinely love fan fiction and like respect it as a medium, like really
Maybe
like
we don't respect it as much as like many Tumblr users do, but
no. We're not delusional about what it is. But like the people who write fan fiction and keep shit being posted every single day, especially for fandoms that are like essentially dead.
Yeah,
Like
while they're getting their master's degree.
you guys are so brave and so strong and really the backbone of my emotional stability. I was going to say the backbone of this nation, but I don't know about all
It's a little more
that.
personal.
It's really personal.
Thank you so much for listening. We are so excited to have you here and hope you tune in again next time. Meanwhile, you can follow us on social media. Our Instagram is at xtumblrgirlspod. And of course, we have a Tumblr. You can find us there at xpodcastgirls.tumblr.com. And we kindly ask that if you're enjoying the pod, to give us a rate or review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It helps us connect with the rest of the world's ex-Tumblr girls. Come join, be our bestie, and we will see you soon. Bye.
Bye.